Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Jeremiah 33:14-16. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Well, as we are in the season of hope, and I'm sure everyone has their hope stories, times when you were worried or scared, and I have one that has stuck with me for a great portion of my life. We were traveling when we were living in China, when Isla was very little, and it was the holiday, and everyone in China kind of travels at the same holiday, and we were about eight-hour bus ride away from where we were living at the time, and Isla got sick, and so we said, you know what, we're going to cut this short, we're going to head back, and we were stuck in about 12 hours of traffic, and Isla, I hope she's not listening to this, but she got sick on the bus, which made us very popular with everyone. One lady got off, once she saw that, she got off the bus wherever we were, and she just left, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And so the bus driver, for some reason, didn't maybe like us, and because of that, and so it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were getting closer. I could tell we were getting closer to where we lived, and I was like, "Oh, I'm feeling so good. We're getting closer." We had talked to the bus driver; he knew where to drop us off, and the bus driver just pulled over to the side of this highway in the middle of the night and said, "This is where here you are." I said, "This is not where I live. I don't live next to the highway." And he said, oh, that's okay. So he just got off and just left us by the side of the road. I'm laughing now because it's funny. At the time, I had different emotions. And I didn't know what to do, so we called our person who was, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. We called somebody and said, oh, well, Mr. Gao is going to be at the exit waiting for you. And I was like, well, we're not at the exit. I don't even know where the exit is. I don't know where we are. And she said, okay, don't worry, Mr. Gao will come and find you. And I was like, okay. And so I'm just walking with the bags. We're carrying our bags. I'm holding, you know, we're holding our daughter. And it's the trucks are driving through and all these other things. And all of a sudden, I see across five lanes on highway on one side, five on the other, I see Mr. Gao running across the highway. And he's waving his arms. And I'm like, Mr. Gao, I've never been more happy to see anybody in my life. I was like, now that Mr. Gao's here, everything's going to be okay. He's going to get, and we did. We had to run across five lanes of highway and hand things over, and trucks were running through. So we weren't out of the woods, but Mr. Gao was there. He was my vision of hope at 1 o'clock in the morning by the side of the road, the highway in southwest China. Hope is that kind of thing. What is hope in our life? For some, hope is the first candle we light when the power goes out. Hope is the first day we wake up and we can breathe again from an awful sickness. Hope is that percentage we have of beating whatever disease we're battling. It's the first ray of sunshine through the window after a hard, tearful, difficult night. Hope is hearing the words, they're going to be okay. Hope is the fuel of our dreams and faith. And hope is what we celebrate on this first Sunday of Advent. Entering Advent, but in fairness, Advent, the actual season, is a whole season of hope. The word Advent means coming, it means arriving, and the season is marked by expectation, anticipation, it's marked by a longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas, it's the season that links our past, our future, into our present. Advent is an opportunity to set aside time to prepare our hearts and focus on the greater story than our own, the story of God's redeeming love for our entire world. It's not a season of pretending or covering over. It's a season of digging deep into the reality of what it means that God translated divine into human form. The word that we hear a lot this time of year is Emmanuel, which just means God with us. Advent is not a celebration that God comes to fix things, from broken computers to broken families to broken and hurting lives. Advent is a celebration, the fact that God comes, that God is the God who is with us. In the darkness, in the pain, in the chaos, God comes, God makes a way. It's the long journey of hope. That's the way God has been working throughout history, and we see back from the beginning of creation all the way through. God's with us. Humanity enjoyed intimacy with God, but we know Adam and Eve and all the story, separation from God, but the whole rest of the witness of Scripture is moving towards God being with us again. Throughout it, we can see God making a way, giving and reminding God's people of the hope that things are going to be okay eventually. God throughout time left signs along the highway of hope. I don't know if you've traveled anywhere, but traveling in Maine especially, you know, you get one sign and the next one, you know, the next exit might be 30 miles away, right? And so you kind of look at the sign and be like, oh, you know, so the sign's going to say, they give you hope every once in a while, like you only have 200 miles to go, 300 miles to go, just to keep you going, because you don't want to stop and be like, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it all the way up there. But God is the same way, has left signs throughout on the highway of hope saying, keep going. It's almost there. We're almost there. And much time has passed, generations, centuries, and we kind of start to get impatient in this time of year. We say, how long, oh God? There's been a deep and on, like a longing for God to fulfill all the things that God has promised. God's fulfilled some of the things, but we want all of it. We want all the promises that are to come. Isaiah lives, 700 years before Jesus, and he gave these beautiful words in 7:14. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call him Emmanuel. We'll call him God with us. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, for us, these are all the scriptures we read. A child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, uphold it with justice and righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Can you imagine living in the ancient world and before the time of digital or even written information, and you hear a message like that, and how excited you'd be, and then it's going to be 700 years until it's fulfilled? Can you imagine the hope that would spring from people's hearts? And so maybe some of us are thinking, that's all nice and great for the people thousands of years ago, but what about for us? What about for me? What about, people are fighting cancer or other diseases, spouses that walked out, people that we've lost in this season. Beck, they didn't lose their jobs without warning, with bills to pay, debt stacking up, kids expecting Christmas presents, not to mention meals on the table, not to mention in the midst of a pandemic. No matter what kind of problems and struggles we're facing, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain we're in, I encourage us never to abandon our hope. Hope is still alive, even in our deepest, most hopeless circumstances. And hope is alive, why? Because Emmanuel, because God is with us. How can we know? How can we find the tiny spark of hope when we're on the verge of giving up? C.K. Chesterton says, hope means hoping when things are hopeless, or it's no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is a flattery or a platitude. It's only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. I think there are several ways that we can kind of kindle, reconnect with God's hope during this Advent season, no matter what kind of circumstances we're facing. We can have hope based on the Word of God. The first hope is based on God's Word. Part of God with us is written, that, and God has left it for us. There are his promises to God's people long ago and today. They are a piece of him. They are our beacons of hope. The Bible is mostly a hopeful book filled with examples and stories that show hope lived out because God is with us. They are reminders that can penetrate our hearts and our spirits, assure us that no matter what we're facing, no matter how bleak tomorrow looks, no matter how bad the pain, God will never leave or forsake us. We see people going through similar things. We see people in the Bible going through loss, grief, confusion, depression, addiction. We sometimes think the Bible is filled with heroes who are almost perfect, but that's not the case. Flawed, but in spite of that, they still hold on to hope. And in these stories, who was there with them through all of those things? Everything they're going through, who's with them in the stories? God. That same God is with us. And what we see is promise after promise after promise, especially the one that nothing can separate us from God and God's love. The scriptures are a reminder, they're post-it notes to be the hope kindler when the coals of hope dim and wane. We hope that that book and that spark of hope is reignited. So not only in God's word can we build our hope, but hope is also based on the character of who God is. There's a small story in Mark, which we've read before, Mark 5, 25 to 34, about the woman who has this bleeding. And she touches him and she's healed. And Jesus says, who touched me? And the woman, frozen in that powerful moment, but she says, you know, it was me. And Jesus connected with her deeply and directly. And this is an example of God with us, God with her. The healing, peace, and freedom he gave her changed her life. And there are there are so many examples like this. Where good writers, when I was teaching writing in English and things like that, there's always an expression that says, good writers show, they don't tell, right? You don't have to say a character is nice. You show that the character is nice, or the character is mean, or the character is evil. Over and over, over again, the scriptures, over and over again, we see that God is a God that is like this, a God that is with us, a God that loves us. That's who God is. Our God is the kind of God that does this kind of stuff. And we can trust that. See, no matter how optimistic and plucky we are, as we talked about, we're used to people letting us down most of the time or a lot of the time. We're used to the people in our life. But God isn't like that. God is not like the people. God is ever true, ever hopeful. We also have hope based on God's faithfulness. Because we can remember how God has been with us before. How has God worked in our life? What are the moments and memories we've experienced God's work? You know, those times when you have doubt he was there, or doubt that God was working. Maybe it's been recently, maybe it's been a long time, but we've all had those moments. But in those circumstances swirling around us, the presence of God's Spirit was with us. What does it have to do with hope? What do the memories have to do with the here and now? They're kind of the mental jewelry that we take out from time to time to remember the truth of this life. That gratitude breeds hope. Thankfulness breeds hope. Acknowledgement and appreciation are the things that build up hope. What we focus on, what we let our minds dwell on, and they influence our reservoir of hope. Apart from mental illness and clinical reasons, and they have their own roots, and they don't apply to this particular situation, but our way of thinking is kind of the gatekeeper of hope, our mindfulness, our focus. So if we focus on gratitude and renew and grow our hope in situations, we can focus on the negative or the positive. And that's the most important thing that we can kind of do whenever we go into any situation. There's this great story about a teacher and a student, and he said, if I give you two mangoes, how many mangoes will you have? So if you have two mangoes and I give you two more mangoes, the teacher says, how many mangoes will you have? And the student says, five mangoes. And the teacher says, okay, well, we got some work to do. Right? Even I'm not a math person, I know that's not right. Said, okay, well, no, here we go. So if I give you two mangoes, you have two mangoes, I have two, and I give you two, how many mangoes do we have? The kid says, five. So, okay, well, now, you know, there's something else going on here. It's like, you know what? I know you like strawberries. So if you have two strawberries and I give you two more strawberries, how many strawberries do you have? They said, well, four. It's like, okay, well, we got it. Okay, so now back to the mangoes. If I have two and I give you two, how many do you have? Five. It's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, teacher, I have a mango in my bag, so I would give it to you. And the teacher was, I think, full of lots of different feelings, probably embarrassed. But that idea, right, that's a way different way of thinking than a lot of the time that we have. That's the idea of, oh, I have this, and I want to share it with you. And so that was so that just reminds us that if we start thinking more like that student, as opposed to trying to get the right answer in that situation, that was the right answer in that situation. Sharing gratitude and hope for those who love and support us, it multiplies. And we nurture this living hope. It sustains us through dark days as we wait for God to move in more and more ways. Hope is patiently waiting for the intangible to become reality. And this season, this is the time, this is our moment, as we talked about, to slow down, to really connect with hope in this season. God is the kind of God who we can trust and hope, and that the promises made, like we talked about in Kids Corner, are never made in vain. There's no doubt that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when and how. The Bible and our experiences, they reinforce the truth of God being a God who is a God of hope. So let us continue moving forward, growing in our hope. And I leave us with one last scripture passage from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My hope for us is that we, this week, this day, this life of ours will overflow and trust in the promises of God. Amen. Amen.